Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Comic-Con Stars for Thursday, the 3rd of November. It's good to be back in the saddle after last week's Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con. We had a great time. In fact, our two guests for tonight were with us at the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con. First of all, right here at 9 o'clock, we will have Papa Stro Maestro, and then at 9:30, we will have Lauren Henneberg. So we're looking forward to having both of those guests here with us. This weekend, of course, we had the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con. That was in Wilmington. Next week, on the 10th, we will have a full hour with the cast, crew, and members of Son of Clowns, a wonderful film, which is a select film from the Kookaloras Film Festival in Wilmington. That will be at 9 p.m. That also includes Papa Stro Maestro, who will be with us then next week as well. On the 17th of November, we will have Alex Sinesi, who is currently filming an independent film in Wilmington called Baphomet. He was with us at the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con. It should be very interesting. He's going to have a couple of outtakes for us to watch on our new Facebook page, which is ComicConStars.com. Then finally, I want to get everybody ready for December the 22nd, our first annual Christmas special. And hot off the presses, Papa Stro Maestro will be joining us as a co-host, along with a lot of other friends that we've had on throughout this first season of Comic-Con Stars. Now, if you want to check us out at Comic-Cons, you can see us this coming weekend, November 5th and 6th, at the Myrtle Beach Comic-Con. Then on Saturday, November the 12th, we will be at Kidtopia in Fayetteville at the Crown Center, along with Papa Stro Maestro. On November the 19th, you can catch Comic-Con Stars at the Chocolate and Barbecue Festival at Mac Daddy's in Cape Carteret, North Carolina. What a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Finally, the Charlotte Comic-Con, December the 11th, in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Embassy Suites. One other thing, we met a great musical group when we were in Wilmington. Papa Stro Maestro and I were walking down the street leaving Hardwire Tattoo, where we met a number of friends who were coming to the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con, and we met the Mad Hatters. They are actually writing some music for Comic-Con Stars, and we will be premiering that in 2 weeks, so stay tuned for that. Check out our Facebook page, ComicConStars.com. We'll have a link to their page and lots of good stuff. So right now, I would like to bring on our first guest, the one and only, what a great friend of Comic-Con Stars and the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con and the Cape Fear Comic-Con itself, the one and only Papa Stro Maestro. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you?
Great. It's wonderful to have you here. I know that you're always a host. You're always talking to people on the VOC Nation, which we're all a part of now, on Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights. Tuesday night, Brady Hicks Show in the room, and on Wednesday night, WCW Retro, which I always enjoy. But now tonight, we're going to turn the tables on you, and you get to be the guest.
Well, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
You are welcome. I tell you what, you've been a busy guy since the days of WCW and WWE. I know one thing, when I was coming by at your table at the Cape Fear Halloween Con, I saw this world championship belt. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm currently the champion for the UPWA, United Pro Wrestling Association, and I've had many great matches and been involved in War Games matches, wrestled like some former WWE stars like Mason Ryan and former TNA, now NXT star Eric Young. And I have a title offense. Next title offense is coming up in January, I think January 14th, I believe, back in Wilmington, North Carolina. So these guys go up and down the East Coast all over the place, and I'm really happy to represent them and honored to be their heavyweight champion.
Well, they've got a great heavyweight champion, I'll tell you that. What we'll do is I'll get some of those schedules up on Comic-Con Stars' website so that people can find out in more than one place where you're going to be defending that belt. That's really exciting. Now, you were telling me about some great things that are happening in Richmond and on cable TV. What's going on up there?
Well, I'm part of GXW, Ground Zero Wrestling, in the Richmond, Virginia area, and which they got many people sponsoring, including the Dave & Buster's locally there in Richmond. And they are also on the Fight Network right now, F-I-T-E, Fight Network. And I will be there this Saturday for some TV taping, which I'll be taking on Pork Chop, and which is labeled Papa versus Pork Chop 2, in which you know, we have a rivalry going, to which he's been protecting the heavyweight champion for me, and I've been pursuing the heavyweight champion, and you know, that's the goal, to eventually, to ultimately get in the ring with heavyweight champion for the championship and duke it out once and for all. So in order to do that, I have to go through Pork Chop to do it. So very big guy, big strong guy, very, very gifted athlete, and it's going to be a tough contest, no doubt. I mean, the match I had before with Pork Chop was brutal and very, very, very rigorous. So this match will be nothing short of high impact, solid, and it'd be great wrestling for the whole family to enjoy, no doubt. I had a lot of great athletes there in GXW, stars of the past, present, and future, all kind of culminate there. So it's a great wrestling promotion to watch and to be a part of.
That sounds great. In fact, Comic-Con Stars, we're looking forward to trying to get up to one of your events, either in November, later this month in November, or in December. I'll let you know when we'll get up there, and you know, we'll have a great time watching you either go after that championship belt, or just being a great wrestler and all. And Dorothy will be there too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, she's so stoked from the past weekend at the Cape Fear Halloween Comp. She got to see Annabelle from The Conjuring. And she's been smiling ever since. So she's pretty psyched for this weekend. She wants to see some wrestling action. And she's got the best seat in the house. She's always ringside for it. So she's pretty stoked, pretty pumped.
Well, that's great. I hope to see you and Dorothy up there. It'll be the end of this month or next month. We'll bring Comic-Con Stars and some of our friends to watch you and support you. That'll be a lot of fun. I'll let everyone know when that will be. Now, not only are you a wrestler, but you were telling me you have become an actor, and quite a fine actor. Tell us a little bit about some of the projects you're working on. There are a lot of them.
I do so much outside of the wrestling business. Training, speaking to kids, work with the D.A.R.E. program, Children's Miracle Network, you name it. I'm getting ready to open my wrestling school soon as well. And also, you know, with acting for television and film, I've been in TV series is One Tree Hill, Sleepy Hollow on Fox, Secrets and Lies on ABC. And matter of fact, this month, starting November 15th, be looking out for me on the new TV series on TNT called Good Behavior. It'll be premiering November 15th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 Central. Got that going on. Also, Son of Clowns. Been hitting festivals all over the country and selected theaters. Even the UK, and now it's going to make its premiere November 10th at the Kukulores Film Festival, which I think it's the exact place it's going to be at. The festival is going to be Jingles Playhouse in Wilmington, North Carolina. And you guys definitely don't want to miss that. Definitely check out Kukulores on Facebook and Twitter and all that to check out the dates and times. And also sonofclowns.com as well. You get to see a trailer and everything. And also, speaking of Son of Clowns is going to be available starting November 15th on Amazon Prime On Demand Video. So beginning November 15th, you can see Son of Clowns anytime you want on Amazon Prime On Demand. I hope you guys, if you get a chance to catch the film, hope you guys enjoy it. It's a great film. It's an inspirational film, and that's one that I'm proud to be a part of.
Well, that's great. I know that I intend to be up there. I think it premieres at 4 o'clock p.m. A week from today at the Kukulores Film Festival, and looking forward to it and looking forward to meeting all the stars.
I forgot to mention two other films coming out next year that I'm going to be a part of. One that's coming out, I just got upset with not too long ago, with C. Thomas Howell and Randy Jones and the Village People. And so much more on hand. It's called The Rat Pack. It's based on a true story. And it's a fun film for everybody to enjoy. That's R-A-C-K-P-A-C-K. Be looking on that on YouTube and check out a trailer as well. It's available on YouTube. And also Checkpoint will be premiering on DVD and Netflix June of 2017 with myself, Bill Goldberg, who just recently returned to WWE, William Forsythe, Fred Williamson, The Hammer, Kenny Johnson from The Shield and Sons of Anarchy, Mindy Robinson, this all-star cast. And that Checkpoint, you can Google it, you can YouTube it to find the trailer. It will be out, like I mentioned, on DVD and Netflix in June 2017. So those are two films, Checkpoint and Rackback, definitely guys you want to check out.
Oh, that's going to be great. Now tell us, you're a big, strong guy, and you typically play big, strong guys in the films. Kind of hard to miss you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Quite the unique look there. So.
Right. Now, didn't you just have a premiere at the Calico Room in Wilmington? It was a couple of weeks ago.
I sure did. That's another film that just premiered recently called The Brother's Statue. It's a film that was filmed out in North Carolina and New York. And it's a film about two mob gangs trying to get this statue that's worth a lot of money, holds a lot of value, and hence the name Brother's Statue. And in the film, I'm one of the heavies for one of the mob gangs. So if it kind of on the lines of The Godfather and Sopranos and so forth. So if you're into movies like that, you'll definitely enjoy The Brother's Statue, in which The Brother's Statue, incidentally, is now on YouTube. So go to YouTube.
Oh, really?
And type in The Brother's Statue, and you can check out the film. Yeah, as of yesterday, I just found out that it's on YouTube now. So you guys, feel free to check it out when you get time.
I'm taking some notes here so I can post this on a new Facebook page. It'll be great seeing you in The Brother's Statue, and then of course on Amazon Prime when Son of Clowns premieres. So what's it like? You go all over the country doing these films. And I know it's a lot different than wrestling, but it's a lot of fun. You meet great people. Where are some of the places, some of the cities that you've been to do some of your filmings? I know because you mentioned New York and, of course, North Carolina. So where have you been for some of these great films and some of these?
Oh, all different parts of the country, all across the country, East Coast, Midwest, West Coast even. So, you know, it just happens. It's wherever it happens. I mean, it's different locations, different sets, and you know, I have an agent now that's helping me out with TV and film as well. So, you know, along with you know the IMDb, I'm on IMDb.com. You can type in it, then find me there. So, yeah, it's a lot of travel, just like pretty much like the wrestling business. You know, you travel a lot, go to different places, meet different people, and word of mouth travels fast. You know, in film, just like it does in the wrestling business, more or less. So, yeah, you know, even though it's different, it has some similarities. So, but, you know, it's like anything else, you know, just trying to do some good in the world and, you know, tell some great stories along the way with both TV, film, and wrestling. And so far, both have balanced out pretty well. So, all is good.
Well, certainly. You were absolutely one of the most popular people at the Cape Fear Halloween Con, and we enjoyed having you there. Now, you mentioned something about doing good things in the world. You are involved in working with kids, helping make them better, because we live in rough times today. What are some of the things that you're working with, that you're doing to work with kids right now? What are some of those programs? And maybe what's one of the best stories that you can tell us, not mentioning any names, of course?
Well, you know, when I can, I go to schools and work with the DARE program and, talk to kids and keep, you know, how important it is to stay in school, get good grades, you know, stay off of drugs and violence and so forth. And, you know, I go to schools every now and then, especially when they have career week, you know, talk about what all I do and, you know, how I got there. And, you know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I didn't stay in school, you know, take the, you know, do the right things in life and, you know, listen to my teachers and stay focused, you know, so, and it's, and I go to children's hospitals every now and then, talk to the kids and, I'm active in my church. How about, matter of fact, I just helped out the flood victims, canned goods. It's flood victims of the Hurricane Matthew that just passed not too long ago. And so, so many great stories, with the wrestling, TV and film, and the charity work that I do. I mean, nothing compares to putting a child in a situation where a child is smiling at you and he looks up to you and is inspired by you. And, art imitates life. And, and even though, some places, a lot, with the wrestling, I'm mostly a bad guy now, or it's kind of crazy, but at the same time, I give back to the fans, because the fans are very important in what we do. I mean, we're all intertwined in this business, whether it be in this business of entertainment and a sport and everything. We're all tied in together, and one can't exist without the other. And without the kids, I mean, the kids are our future, and we got to take care of them. And so many stories about putting smiles on kids' faces. I remember one time, I'm driving off, right? I'm leaving an event, and some kids were like, a bunch of kids were following my car out of the parking lot. They get a hold of me, wanting their autograph, right? And I backed up and stopped, and I must have stayed for like an hour or so, signing autographs with a bunch of kids that were there at the show, after the event. And, I didn't mind it. I mean, it just felt so good to be able to make their night and, make them happy and everything. I mean, there's no joy. I mean, you can win championships. You can be in high-profile movies. You can do a lot of great things and accomplish a lot of great things in life. But there's no joy bigger or greater than making a little child smile. I mean, to me, that's the ultimate. And I think that's why God put us here to do what we do, is to help the future and help make a better future for everybody.
Absolutely. And those kids that you stopped for and talked to them and gave them autographs for an hour, they're going to talk about that forever. And it's going to be great for them, for people to know that a big star like Papa Stro Maestro, who's been all over the world, been on television, been in movies, will stop and talk to people. That's very important, and people really like that. Another thing that you mentioned that I really liked, I'm a former college professor, you said listening to teachers. You were, in fact, I think a lot of people don't know about your background, because you were an NCAA wrestler at, what was it, Iowa?
Oh, yeah, Iowa State. The Hawkeyes.
At Iowa State.
Yeah,
right.
I went to the wrestling camp, and things just snowballed from there,
Right. Tell us just a little bit about your career. Didn't you have, a great coach, and you participated in a lot of matches out there in Iowa and really all over the country when you're an NCAA star? Who was your coach, and how did you actually end up at Iowa State, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I went to one of the wrestling camps and over summer, and it kind of snowballed from there, and then got to see Dan Gable, who was coaching at the time, and he was an inspiration to me growing up, because he's a former Olympic gold medalist, and I used to watch training videos of him where it's just amazing. So inspired to see him train as hard as he did for the Olympics, and inspired me, to do that and to be on the USA Freestyle Greco-Roman Circuit, where they travel over the country and do tournaments, in which and then from there, I went to my lifelong profession or passion, if you will, that was pro wrestling, and trained for that. And about a few years in the business is when Stan Lane, formerly the Midnight Express and the Fabulous Ones, put me on to UWFI, which was a shoot pancreation MMA promotion out of Japan, which are competitors for pride fighting, which I trained for that and got to meet MMA legends and train, work with them like Dan Severn and, Gary Albright was a part of that. And, and I'm opposing company with Pride, this Ken Shamrock and Dakota and Big Van Vader even did a few MMA fights back then with their champion Dakota back then. And it was a great learning experience. I learned art of submission, different fighting styles, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, and in which at the time it wasn't as popular as it is now with the, you know, UFC and, you know, Strikeforce and all the other MMA companies coming along. And this was like octagon cage, right? This was still a ring where, you know, he had all different styles come together basically in Japan at the time. And it was like once in the blue moon for an event. And that's why I came back and did the pro wrestling, because it was more consistent. But I learned a lot, and I used what I learned to carry over to the States. And it helped me immensely with the pro wrestling, no doubt. And, you know, and learning the art of submissions, the strikes, the takedowns, and the many things that I learned from over there. I mean, it was priceless. And they were so astute and smart training. And I just came back to the States. I was like a whole new person. And, you know, that's why I encourage anybody, like the people I've trained and stuff, which they have. And I'm really proud of them for doing it. You know, they go to overseas, go to different companies, learn what they can. They come back to the States and apply themselves. And, I mean, I've got some great kids that I've trained through the years. And some are in NXT right now. Some that I've helped, Bobby Roode, for example, in NXT. Scott Dawson, who's one half of the tag team champs of Dash Wilder, called the Revival NXT. And Mike and Tracy Taylor, Mika, rather, and Tracy Taylor, I've helped along the way. And, you know, Petey Williams. And, I mean, it's just so many young people that have young stars that have really made a name for themselves. I'm really proud of each and every one of them. Eric Shea out of the Maryland area. I mean, I can go on and on, but, you know, I mean, even people I just give advice to see them do well, it's great, because it's like part of yourself goes with them, and, you know, you share their success, you know, personally, you know. So, I mean, it's great. I like to see people do well.
I know you do, and that's what's great about you. You're all about people doing well. I hope that one day I'll talk to you sometime and see if we can get some of your students that have done well. I'd like to have them on Comic-Con Stars with you. I think people would enjoy hearing them talk about some of their stories and some of the things that you've done to help them. Now, one thing that I want to bring up, you and I, we talk a lot, and it's wonderful to get to hear all these wrestling stories about you and how you came up in the business. I know that my little bit of background was that I was a ring announcer for the Professional Wrestling Federation, the Italian Stallion, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And one evening, it was a Saturday evening, a church was doing a really big fundraiser at the Mooresville National Guard Armory. Well, I got to meet my all-time hero was Nelson Royal. I was so excited about meeting with him. I talked to him for an hour and a half. I never even got a picture with him. Now, tell us a little bit about your story, because you were involved with Nelson Royal. Do you mind sharing that with us, and how he was part of, he and a couple of other brothers were important in your development in professional wrestling. Do you mind sharing that story? I love it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I was brought into business by Cowboy Nelson Royal, who is arguably one of the greatest junior heavyweights of all time, former NWA junior heavyweight champ. The Andersons, Gene Anderson, Ole Anderson, Lars, the original Minnesota Wrecking Crew, arguably one of the greatest tag teams of all time, and also the legendary Ivan Koloff, the Russian Bear, which they had different schools at the time. Ivan's was on the side of Charlotte, the Indian Trail, and Nelson and the Anderson Genes were like the other side of Charlotte towards Mooresville, right? So,
right.
Yeah, great learning experience. I remember watching old matches of Johnny Valentine and Chief Wahoo McDaniel, which, incidentally, one of my first matches was with Chief Wahoo. So you can imagine education, you know, with that. So, I mean, I learned so much from those guys. It was really hard training, really old school. They put me through the mill angle because I thought I was in shape, seriously. You know, I was still collegiate wrestling at the time, which I didn't tell my collegiate coach anything. I was training to be a pro wrestler, but I thought I was in shape, and man, they put me through it, and oh my goodness, I learned so much, and it's immeasurable what they taught me, paved the way. I mean, I had them in my ear, also had I would call Lou Dez for advice, legendary Lou Dez, which was arguably one of the greatest heavyweight champions ever.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and then, you know, a couple of years later, after doing some independent wrestling for a few years, I got my first major promotion, which was Smoky Mountain Wrestling, which I had, you know, guys like Cornette, Rock and Roll Express, Heavenly Bodies. You had, Arn Anderson, Paul Orndorff, Sandy Scott. You had who's Ronnie Garvin, the Fullers, Jimmy Golden. I mean, it was just all these legends in your ear, you know, for advice and giving you tips on what to do, what not to do, and teaching you about the business, learning from them about the business. It was tremendous. And you had guys coming up like myself, like Chris Candido, Chris Jericho, and Lance Storm, and Taz, and Bobby Blaze, and guys like that. They were just it was an amazing, amazing time. And those, you know, learning from guys like that, and later on guys like Jerry Lawler, Jerry the King Lawler, and one of my best friends at this day, Jake the Snake Roberts. You know, it's just, and then later, you know, guys like Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Ric Flair helping you out. You know, guys like that are just tremendous to the business. And it's funny because, you know, during one of my times in WCW, you know, I got to be friends with William Regal, and we're still friends to this day. And he helps people down at NXT right now as we speak. William Regal, and our mutual friend of ours is Triple H, which was in WCW with us at one time. And now, I mean, look at Triple H now. He's like the CEO, COO of the WWE. So it's amazing where life takes you. And those, I'm really happy for those guys. We've all stayed in touch, you know. Dwayne DeRock Johnson, you know, I knew his dad really well, Rocky Johnson, and you know, Road Dogg, who works in the back now for WWE. I know the Armstrong family, good as gold. I mean, just like I have in the second family, you know, secondary brothers, the Guerreros. It's just amazing how, you know, we've been around the world wrestling, and life's taken us different avenues, but, you know, we're still doing our thing, and very blessed to be a part of the, you know, pro wrestling family. So it's amazing where life takes you.
Absolutely, it is. I got one more thing I want to ask you. I woke up, and you'll remember this story when I start telling it. It was probably about 3 months ago. Sometimes I get up at 4 o'clock because I can't sleep, and I looked at Google, and the doodle on Google looked like a masked wrestler. Of course, me, I'm the biggest mark for wrestling in the world. So I started clicking on it, and it was El Santos, the great Mexican luchador. And they had a nice feature. Wikipedia had updated their page, and there were a couple of sites that it linked to. So the first thing I did, you know, I try to text people. Instead of calling people at 4 in the morning, I try to text them. I don't want to interrupt them. So I texted you. I said, check out the doodle on Google. It's El Santos. And so it was like 5:30 in the morning. I get a text back from you, said, I know the guy. I'm going to call you after my workout. And you called me, and you told me a little bit about wrestling with him in Mexico. Do you mind sharing that? I know it's a short story, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, El Santo is like a legend in Mexico. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, even non-wrestling fans in Mexico, you mentioned him, El Santo, they're like, they'll step back, oh, whoa, El Santo, you know. I remember wrestling in Mexico back with Jake Snake Roberts a few years back, and, you know, we went to eat with our friend Octagon, who's a popular luchador down there in Mexico, and I remember Octagon, some of the luchadors, showed us a shrine one time with mass, a shrine of mass, I kid you not. And at the top of the shrine was the mask of the original Santo back in the 50s and 60s. And we watched like old Santo movies and stuff, in which I think I showed you one of them where he's fighting the aliens, the Martians.
He fought the aliens. He fought vampires. He fought the Wolf Man. He fought everybody in those movies.
Yeah. Speaking of Matt's wrestlers, I have to tell you the story that I know you'll appreciate that Roddy Piper told me a while back. And I usually try to get my sources from different guys to make sure it was legit. So this is a true story. It really happened. It's the funniest thing ever. Piper was telling a story about back in the 70s when he was part of the Pacific Northwest with the Bars. The Bar family was running it. And they're going to debut. They had live TV back then. They were debuting this guy named Mattman, who dressed up like Batman, had the whole Batman outfit, but due to DC comic book rights, he couldn't call himself Batman, so that's what I named him. Mattman, right? But he still had the Batman outfit.
Mattman, okay.
Mattman, yeah. So the deal was he was going to Al Madrill. I don't know if you longtime wrestling fans recall. Al Madrill was a villain from way back in the World Class Championship Wrestling days, right? And the deal was, and the commentator was going to interview Al Madrill. And during his promo, Mattman was going to jump on top of the table, and it was Batman outfit, like a superhero says, "I'm Mattman," right? But keep in mind, this is 1970-some TV, and it's live TV, and there's no editing. So if you screw up live, well, it happens, right?
That's
so,
it.
So the TV show starts. I'm going to do the interview with the commentator. Here comes Batman outfit and all, cape and everything, runs down the front, right side, jumps on top of the table, slips, falls, busts his rear end on the floor. The audience is howling, laughing, right? And the commentator and Amateur look at each other, and then the commentator takes the microphone down to Mattman, who's all messed up on the floor, and says, "Who are you?" And takes the microphone down to Mattman, and Mattman says, "I'm Mattman. Tell all your friends." Oh, it gets better. Later on that night was the debut, quote-unquote, match of Mattman, right? So yeah. Mattman comes out there, Batman cape and all, starts the match off. They go at it, boom-de-boom. Mattman slams the guy, climbs to the top rope, extends his hands like he's going to give him the Jimmy Superfly Snuka splash right at the top, right?
Okay.
What he didn't realize was there were loose wires protruding from the top of the ceiling. Touched one of those wires, sparks flew, blacks out the whole joint. People are screaming, "Oh, my God, what's happening?" You know, freaking out. But I guess about 30 seconds later, right, the lights come back on. Here's the smoking Mattman on the top rope. Falls face first to the canvas like a dead tree. Boom, right? Missed the guy like a mile in the ring. Referee didn't know what the heck to do, right? So he takes the smoking Mattman, puts him on top of the guy. He counts 1, 2, 3. So this was the beginning and the end of Mattman.
You know what? That is truly one of the best stories I have ever heard. I want to talk to you more about. We got to flesh this one out. We got to get more about Matt. Man, this is great. So
I can't do Piper justice. He's the one that told it to him. For him, you got to hear him when he was talking about it. He was so hilarious. Oh my gosh, too much.
Oh gosh. You know these stories. These times are great, and that's one reason we like having you with us. Papa Stro Maestros, you got great stories. You do great things for people, and it's a lot of fun talking to you, and it's really rewarding. And first of all, thank you for this. I asked you if you would co-host the Christmas special with us on December 22nd, and you said you could probably be able to do that. So we look forward to having you then. I would also like to ask you to stay on with us because I just noticed that we have one of the most wonderful people in the whole Walking Dead world has just joined us. Lauren Henneberg, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Sure can, Lauren. Thanks. Look, thanks for joining us. I mean, you came in at the craziest time talking about wrestlers getting electrocuted in the ring, and now we go to a wonderful actress who lives in Eastern North Carolina, who's done a lot of great things, and let me get my sheet of paper here. I always make a few notes about what we want to talk about. you were recently at, of course, the Cape Fear Halloween Comic Con. You're a big fan. Not only are you an actress, but you're also a big fan of cosplay, right?
Yes, that's right.
What are some of the things that you like to play when you cosplay?
So far, I've done Harley Quinn. Everyone's done Harley. I've also done Baby Doll from Sucker Punch, Rainbow Bright, Daenerys from Game of Thrones, Katniss from The Hunger Games, just a real variety.
Exactly. And you also attend a lot of Comic-Cons, don't you?
Yeah, I've been to several here in North Carolina. I'm pretty new to the scene here, but it's been a lot of fun. There were a lot more Comic-Cons here than I was aware of. You know, I mostly just went to Dragon Con every year in Georgia, but, I mean, they're everywhere. It's a lot of fun.
They really are. Uh-oh. I think I just... Yeah, good. There we go. All right, so that's wonderful. You, not only are you interested in Comic-Cons and everything, but you're also interested in survival. You told me that, in fact, when we spoke, that that's something you've been interested in forever. Tell us a little bit about that and kind of what are some of your goals on that? I think you said you were looking at maybe doing a project or two in the area of survival.
Yes. Well, I've always enjoyed, you know, just going out in the woods by myself and learning new things, seeing how many trees I can identify, how many wild edible plants I can find, what kind of animals I can spot, things like that. But I've also, my grandfathers were both in the military and they gave me their survival books from Vietnam and World War II. And I've enjoyed reading those and checking books out at the library. I love hunting and fishing and archery. And I'd love to, you know, help teach some of what I've learned on YouTube, as well as invite any special guests that want to, you know, share different skills than I have. But I'd also like to incorporate acting and cosplay into it to make it a little more fun, you know, because watching a lot of survivalists on TV or on YouTube can kind of be like watching grass grow. So I want to make it more engaging and entertaining.
That's awesome.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I look, we all have to learn how to survive. There is a possibility that the grid will go down. We don't know what's going to happen. But as you know, as I said, former college professor, if learning is fun, people will learn more and they'll learn better. That's bad grammar. But they will learn better. And I like the idea of putting some cosplay into it and bringing some other folks out there. I mean, heck, one of these days I hope you'll let us come do Comic-Con Stars from out in the woods. That'd be a blast.
Absolutely. And, you know, if there are any Walker friends that I have that would be interested in doing anything, you know, apocalyptic themed, you know, that would be a lot of fun.
Heck yeah.
I love studying indigenous cultures from all over the world and ancient history and things like that. You know, there's really a lot to learn from the past and just from nature itself.
Wow, that's great. It's interesting. Papa Stro Maestro is going to join us on an overnight with some paranormal researchers. And, of course, we're going to be doing a lot of learning from Phasma Paranormal. What happened this past weekend is we all went out for a burger after the Cape Fear Halloween Con, and Kelly Broski stands up, takes her camera, and she goes, and she just films right around the room that's supposed to be haunted. Well, she got a couple of orbs, large white orbs, that were jumping into the room. So she comes back to the table, and, of course, she starts giving us a lecture about what they mean, how they've seen these orbs before and everything. And Papa Strela, you were there, and I think you heard her teach us a little bit about the paranormal, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. And
it was a lot of fun.
And looked like first one of the orbs like went to the kitchen, right? And I'm thinking, man, I wonder if they're like preparing our meal.
it really did. And you know, Lauren,
that was wild.
You know, bringing some entertainment into this education that we've got on survival. I think that's great. I know this may sound silly, but I remember you had a post on your Facebook page about you had some pumpkin sprouts, and you said it'd be great because there's multiple ways you can use pumpkins, like pumpkin seeds and whatever. Do you remember that post?
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Of course, you can save some for planting in the future, but they're also very healthy. If you, you know, wash and dry out the pumpkin seeds, you can roast them. They're really tasty. Or you could put them in pemmican or, like, granola bars, things like that.
Sounds
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, you even said you could make soup out of them.
Yeah, you can make pumpkin flour soup. I didn't have enough flowers. They have, like, these orange fragrant flowers. I didn't know this before trying to grow them this year. I was going to try making soup. I read about a Native American recipe that I wanted to try, but I just didn't get around to it since I've been busy. But there's all kinds of pumpkin recipes and uses for pumpkins.
Exactly. I mean, George Washington Carver, way back in the day, he came up with, I think, 1,001 ways you can use peanuts. So it sounds like you're on the same track. That's a lot of fun. Now, you and I were also talking about you like doing good things for people. And I think it was earlier today we talked about farmers and hunters feeding the hungry, FHFH. That's
yes,
something
that's,
else that you're interested in as well.
Definitely. Unfortunately, there isn't a chapter near me here. I think the closest one is Raleigh, but I'd like to see if I can set one up here or if I can donate there. That's one of my favorite charities. Especially kids, you know, that have nothing to eat. There's no reason for that, you know, with the abundance that we have. So,
that's exactly right.
I'd love to be more involved with that and other humanitarian projects too.
Yeah, I know that we're looking at the Cape Fear Comic-Con coming up. We're looking to sponsor the New Hanover County Food Bank and any other events because we've done that in other parts of the Carolinas, and it really is rewarding. I'm glad to hear that you say that. And now we talked a good bit about some of your interests and things. I know a lot of people may not know what you've been in. You've been in some wonderful, wonderful television series and things like that. Tell us a little bit about your acting career, because I know it's been varied and you've been in a lot of fun things.
Yes, I've been very fortunate to appear in several big-name movies and shows. I started out working as a shock and stunt actress at Netherworld Haunted House in Norcross, Georgia, which is voted one of the number one haunted houses in the country. I worked there for several years, and they actually invited many of us to go out and audition for this new pilot in town called The Walking Dead to go to the first zombie school. And I went to that, and they showed us what to do, what not to do, obstacle courses, you know, practicing, you know, all of these different scenarios. And I was fortunate enough to make it through zombie school, and I worked on 12 episodes of The Walking Dead in seasons 1 through 4. You know, season 1 was only 6 episodes, but I was in 3 of those episodes: the premiere, episode 2, Guts, breaking through the store glass, episode 5, I believe, at the CDC. I'm one of the first zombies you see when the camera switches to an aerial view, like a bird's eye view. And then season 2, in the finale, when all the zombies take over Herschel's farm, you can see me in a couple scenes, like when the whole gang's doing the drive-by shootings of the zombies at the gates. And I was also one of the Patricia Eaters, one of Herschel's daughters that unfortunately doesn't make it. And season 3, you can see me several times at the prison, mostly outside the gates. And season 4, I don't want to give away too much of this show for those that might be listening that might not be caught up, but I was fortunate to be a part of that. And I've also worked on The Vampire Diaries. I worked on seasons 1 through 4 and about 12 episodes as well, mostly as a Mystic Falls cheerleader, a high school student. And I also played a Viking in season 3 when they introduced the originals, the original vampires, and I've also worked on the originals, the spin-off show. And let's see, I also worked on The Hunger Games. I was a District 13 citizen in Mockingjay Part 1. And in Mockingjay Part 2, I was a District 7 lumberjack rebel when Katniss leads all of the rebels to attack the Capitol. And I've also been, you know, appeared in a couple other movies and shows, but those are the shows that, you know, I was most excited to be a part of.
Exactly. So you started out, you started your career by working at a haunted house.
Yes.
That's great.
I did some shock and stunt acting, and I really learned a lot from the crew there. I still visit every year when I can. I have a lot of friends there, and many of them were in season 1, at least, of The Walking Dead. You know, they've really got a spectacular crew and a great show.
Oh, absolutely they do. Well, we certainly enjoyed having you at the Cape Fear Halloween Comic-Con, and we're glad to have you on here tonight. What kind of advice, because you are making it up through the ranks and quite nicely, what kind of advice would you give young people who want to be a star, who want to follow the same path that you're following? What kind of advice would you give them?
Just to get as much experience as you can. You know, there's plenty that you can do on YouTube, you know, for free, whether you're behind the camera or in front of the camera, or you can volunteer at haunted houses, or, you know, there's always people looking for actors or production workers on independent films. So just get as much experience as you can. You know, practice your favorite genres. If there's specific monologues, you know, you can practice in front of your family or friends or in front of a mirror, or, you know, just the YouTube, or just keep working at it.
That's some good advice. Practice monologues. Those monologues became famous for a reason, didn't they?
Exactly. It's not easy. You know, a lot of times actors or actresses can make it look that way, but it's really hard to make it look sincere.
You know, that is exactly what Papa Stro Maestro said to me earlier. He said, you know, everybody wants to be a top wrestling star, but you have to work all the time, don't you, Papa Stro?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't make a Picasso painting using crayons. You know, you got to work to get the fine oils.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. And if you don't just keep, I know that I started in radio back when I was in high school. I was desperate to be in radio, and I volunteered at the local radio station, putting in commercials for Atlanta Braves baseball games. And someone said, they don't pay you for that. I said, they don't have to. I'm learning. It's a lot of fun. And so between from that and doing some other announcing, and then, you know, working with the Professional Wrestling Federation as an announcer, it all builds on it. One experience builds on another. So, Lauren, what are projects are you looking at right now? Or I know you said you were looking at maybe doing a media project on YouTube. I hope that wasn't too much to say. But what are you looking at doing in the upcoming future?
Well, it's fine to say. I'm working on a show called Selene Survival Goddess. It's going to be my survival show on YouTube. I'm working on videoing my first tutorials. And if you want to subscribe, that would be great. And I should have some videos up soon. I'm also doing some character acting in Atlanta. Not too much I can talk about just yet, just because of confidentiality agreements. But check out my IMDb page, imdb.com. Just type in Lauren Henneberg, and you can keep up to date with what I've been approved to share. And it's going to be some exciting stuff coming up soon.
Well, that's great to hear. In fact, it sounds like both you and Popstro Maestro have got some exciting things coming up, and I hope you'll come back and join us. And I'm going to talk with you a little bit about some of the ideas that you presented tonight. I think we'll see if maybe Comic-Con stars can join you out in the woods sometime. I know I'd have a great time. I think survival is important. If that grid goes down, Lauren, you're going to be the first person I try to get up with. Okay.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right. Well, look, thank you so much, Papa Stro. Look forward to seeing you. I think the next time you will be where we are will be in Fayetteville at Kidtopia, right?
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
All right. And to both of you, thank you so much for being here tonight with us on Comic-Con Stars. I'll speak to both of you soon. And to everyone listening in, I hope you have a great week. Next week, we will have members of the cast and crew and directors and whatever of Son of Clowns, which is a premiere movie at the Kukulores Film Festival. I think that one's premiering 4 p.m. next Thursday, November the 10th. Papa Stro, I think I have that one memorized. I'll look forward to seeing you there, and look forward to Comic-Con Stars, and we'll be interviewing everyone then. So, look, have a great weekend. Enjoy the next Comic-Con you go to. I'll see everybody if you come to the Myrtle Beach Comic-Con. Lauren and Papa Stro, thanks a lot. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.